Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peake, and today is the latest and greatest update. Today happens to be Thursday, the 19th of November, 2020, and I have an update for you guys. I had an appointment today with my retina specialist to consult about my eye, and it was just a follow-up appointment, but basically between the retina specialist and the cornea specialist, they are releasing me to go back to work. They're saying that I look like I'm good enough to kind of go back to normal. I have tested it out this week. I cut grass on Tuesday wearing safety glasses, of course, just to kind of see if I could stand being outside that long and also to see if I could kind of maneuver the yard with like spatial issues and stuff like that. I turn on a different light. I hope that doesn't change too much on the YouTube. That's actually too bright. Let me turn that back off. Ugh. Changes the color. Anyway, I was able to do that with no problem. It felt good to be out and sort of, you know, live like a normal person. I wanted to go out and drive, but I was waiting for that. I had an incident happen with the lawnmower. I don't know if I ran over something or if maybe my wife ran over something previously, but I noticed as I was cutting that I couldn't turn the wheel when I was backing up because my left wheel was catching on the deck. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? So I kept looking down and I was noticing that the whole deck seemed to be like catty-cornered the wrong way. I was like, all right, either I ran over something or she ran over something, but I don't know. I gotta look at it and see what's going on. Probably something's just loose or something's come undone. And so I was like, well, it's not affecting if I drive forward. And then I looked back at what I was cutting and it wasn't affecting what I was cutting. So I was like, all right, let me just finish up and then I'll take it in the garage and look at it. So I got inside and looked at it and I realized that we actually had a bracket that had come loose. This bracket apparently gets held up in a place and then it forms like a C over the deck at a certain point and a weld had busted loose. So it's probably not one event that caused that to happen. It's probably me cutting grass for years with that lawnmower. I mean, we've had that lawnmower now about 12 years, something like that. Anyway, a long time, more than 10. And just a culmination of cutting grass over time probably has just caused that weld to come loose over time. So it probably wasn't one thing that happened. It was probably just everything that's happened to it. So I was like, all right, what do I do? And I was able to reach out on Facebook. And, you know, I've said a lot of bad things about social media and I've had guests on here and we've all talked about how social media is supposed to be used for positive things and it's supposed to be brought together with community and helping each other out and that kind of stuff. And for a large part of it, it doesn't seem to do that. It seems to create echo chambers where all we do is we argue about what we don't like and then we form up our own groups and then it's a us versus them mentality. And it's the whole thing of kind of how Facebook and social media in general went wrong. There's a show about it, The Social Dilemma. It's on Netflix. It basically talks about that. I haven't watched the show. I just saw the preview enough to understand that's what it's talking about. And, you know, before Facebook, I don't know what people used. You know, their phone directory, the people at their local community, they would just reach out to someone who knows a lot of people and they would say, hey, anybody know anybody that does this? Well, here's what happened. I shot a video on my phone, little simple iPhone, just boop, boop. Shot a video. Hey, this busted loose. Kind of looking for anybody out there that knows somebody who can weld because I don't have a welder. I had a welder years ago and I sold it because I didn't use it. It was a simple wire welder that worked off a regular 110 outlet and it really wasn't strong enough to do serious welding. That kind of welder is mainly used for like sheet metal, just tacking sheet metal together. I needed a big welder. I needed like a 220 amp welder to do the job. I don't want to go out and buy a welder just to do this. I know plenty of people that have welders. I just put it on Facebook and said, hey, I need a simple weld, about 4 inches. And so, somebody reached out within minutes. Hey, my husband does that. He retired as a welder and he can hook you up. Cool. And then it was a simple matter of just calling around, my stepdad actually has a trailer. He was able to come over. We loaded it up, took it over to him. welded it. I think from the time we pulled it off the back, rolled it over there to him, he welded it and put it back on the truck. I think we were back on the trailer. I think we were there maybe 20 minutes. And welding it only took a minute, if that long. So it wasn't like it needed super hard work. It's just a tack, just toot, 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 and then, you know, put them together. It was fine, simple, no big deal. Big shout out to Ricky. I appreciate the weld, Ricky Thompson. He's good friends with my stepdad, Dan Hopla. And, you know, Dan for coming over and helping me do that. That was, it's an extra thing he had to do. And, you know, as things worked out, he's retired now, so he has time. And he was able to come over and help me load it up, help me take it over there, help me bring it back. So big thank you to both those guys. Appreciate it. And thank you to everybody on Facebook who was reaching out again, even after I'd fixed it, saying, hey, make sure, about, thank you. Hey, it worked. Social media worked. Yay. So anyway, I got a lot of feedback from people saying they really enjoyed the last podcast with Kelvin. And I hope that people utilize that information properly. I hope that they seek, you know, some kind of mental health counseling if they need it. If they don't feel comfortable going to a professional, maybe they just reach out to their pastor or a friend or a loved one or, you know, whoever. And, it, you know, somewhere along the way, someone's going to point you in the right direction to get you the help you need. It's not cool anymore to say, no, 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 I'm fine. I don't need help. It is now socially acceptable by everybody, including the people who've been hurt the most, to say, hey, I need professional counseling. I need to talk to somebody. Sometimes talking to your friend helps, but sometimes you need to talk to a licensed person who's gone to school to help you professionally. And sometimes hearing things from that person means more or sinks into your brain more than just hearing it from a friend or a loved one. So if you need help, please reach out. Okay. Again, Kevin's information can be found on Google, a new U counseling center here in Florence, South Carolina, off of Evans Street. He's very helpful. He's very professional. He can meet you through a Zoom or Skype or phone, any way you need to do it. And if you don't feel comfortable talking to him, talk to somebody else. So anyway, moving on, I would like to talk about, this is Stuff I Heard podcast. I would like to talk about a couple things. I watched on YouTube, Dr. Drew has a channel on YouTube, and I guess it's like his version of a show. I think they're set up for television, and he just also does a simulcast online through YouTube, and him and his wife do it. It looks like CNN almost, with the blue around the border, and it's got a phone number, call in now. It's kind of like Loveline, except for it's just him and her, and he's on the screen. She's kind of behind the scene. And they had on Bert and Leanne Kreischer. Of course, you know, Bert has his show, The Cabin, came out on Netflix, and it hit number one for an unscripted show. And they were on there talking about it a little bit, and kind of taking calls and talking to Bert and talking to Leanne. And it was good. It was about an hour and 30 minutes. I fast-forwarded the commercials, of course, and it was a good conversation. For people who don't know the behind the scenes, Bert first told his machine story on Dr. Drew's Loveline show. He came in as a sort of a guest to help be the other person when they were in between hiring somebody to go with him after Adam Carolla left the show. They were bringing in comedians or, you know, just funny people in general to be the other person. And one time Bert came in and they were just talking and someone called in on the show and says, it was a classmate of Bert's that he had this experience with. Hey, Bert, tell him about the time that you robbed us in on a train in Russia. And Adam, Dr. Drew's like, what did he say? And so Bert told the story for the first time on Dr. Drew's show. And from that, he got asked to tell it a lot more. We'll say hundreds of thousands of times more. It became most famous when he told it on Rogan. And that's where I first heard it. And that's where I first heard about Bert and didn't realize that I actually watched Bert on television years ago on his TV show, Hurt Bert, and on the X show that was on FX, was opposite the Man show. I mean, I had watched this guy before and thought, man, this guy's a lot of fun. And he is. So you guys know my love affair of Bert. So anyway, moving on, there is a couple of shows that I've watched recently. I watched this interesting show on Netflix called The Liberator. Okay. Don't Google The Liberator and expect to see what I'm talking about. If you do that, you're going to find an adult. We'll Google it just for fun and see what comes up. It'll be our little joke between us. But the show, The Liberator Netflix series, is a... Right now, someone's Googling it going, oh. It's a pillow that raises... Never mind. Anyway, hi, Mom. Thanks for watching. inside joke to myself. Okay, so The Liberator on Netflix is about... It's a true story, basically. It's four episodes. Really easy to watch. It's a true story about one of the bloodiest battles of World War II. The whole thing, though, is shot in a very interesting way. It is... It's almost like someone filmed it and then put it through an Instagram comic book filter. So like everything looks like a comic strip. It's very strange the way it looks. It's not cartoony because there's actors and there's real live action going on, but they've put like a filter over it so that it looks like a comic book almost. It's really cool the way they shot it. I don't know how they shot it. I don't know if they did this in production. I don't know if someone did it with a phone and just put a filter and just recorded the whole thing with a phone. I don't know. I read online that they probably did it because it made filming a lot easier because they could kind of mush up some of the parts that they didn't have the budget to do, like special effects, and they didn't have to like blur out things in the background. They could just use this filter and kind of smudge it out with the... Anyway, it's really cool because it's a real story about a guy about a bunch of guys. But this guy, it starts off, he gets a company in the military and they're all seen as rejects. They're, you know, Mexicans, they're Native Americans, they're what they considered Dust Bowl cowboys, guys who were in trouble. He basically goes and gets his men out of jail, out of the brig. And he's like, all right, I'm going to give you guys a chance. And he trains them and he gets them back into fighting order and they become these awesome soldiers who withstood some of the worst battles ever of World War II. To put it in perspective, okay, not to give anything away, but there's a moment where this guy meets someone who a lot of people would consider a military hero, and it's towards the end. And the guy tells him, he says, I'm not going to tell you who it is because I want you to be surprised. He says, would you consider me a hero? And the main guy says, well, absolutely. And he said, okay. For my however many years I've been in the military, I think he said like 37 years he'd been in the military. He said, I've had a combined 300 days of combat. He said, you and your men have had 500 days of combat. So what does that make you? It's pretty impactful. And the stuff that this guy and his people go through is really tremendous. And it's to me, it's a testament to the military. I mean, it came out on Veterans Day. And it's a testament to the... What I've always talked about is, you know, you come together as a unit, no matter your differences, to overcome obstacles. That's one of the main things I learned when I was in the Marine Corps. And it didn't matter your background. It didn't matter what color you were, what nationality you were, what language you spoke. You were now green. You were part of the big green machine. You were light green, dark green, but you're green. And you learn to speak one language, and that is get it done, basically. And these guys do. It's done really well. The acting in it is really well. I know a lot of people are going to poo-poo on it saying, I don't like the way it looks. I dug the way it looked. I thought it was really cool. I hope they do more of this. I hope they get some kind of recognition for whatever efforts they went through to make this look the way it looks. But it was done really well. The main actor in it, he kind of looks like one of the guys from Supernatural. He looks like one of the brothers. But it's not him. I looked him up online. I think I wrote his name down here. Hang on. I got my notebook here to keep track of. I didn't write his name down. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, it's really cool. Go watch it. Netflix. Also Netflix. I got this recommendation from my stepson, Barbarians. It was a German shot or German or it's a European shot show, 6 episodes. Basically about it's a true-ish story about around the time of 6 AD. That's 6 years past AD. So year six, the Roman Empire is expanding and expanding and expanding, and they come into contact with these Germanic tribes who are barbarians, ruffians, tribes. They're all at war with each other. But something happens, and they all get together, and they fight one of the greatest battles ever fought that stops the Roman Empire from moving northern. It stops, was it three, not battalions. What do they call them? Regiments? Three regiments. Yeah. With basically a few hundred barbarians, they stopped 3 regiments of Roman soldiers who were professionally trained to be military and to conquer and to just slaughter. The story's done well. I can see there's potential for more. I looked up the ratings on the Netflix thing. They're probably not going to do more because it didn't get great ratings, but I hope they do. It is recorded in another language and there's dubbing over their voices. It's not as bad as like that show Dark I was telling you about. The dubbing is actually better. And there's parts where, of course, they're speaking German, so you hear it in English. And then there's parts where it's supposed to be Italian. And you can hear them speak Italian, but you got to read the subtext. So it's... You have to kind of learn. You got to pay attention to it. But the show moves pretty well. The story is interesting. The quote-unquote barbarian German tribes believe in sacrifice and praying to things. And they make declarations that are going to cost them as the show continues, if they are lucky enough to continue the show. There's promises made in all directions to their quote-unquote gods that they're going to have to pay up at some point, and it's going to be a problem. So it's interesting. You can tell they didn't have a huge budget, but what they had as a budget, they really maximized on. So big shout out to the people at Netflix and whoever shot Barbarians and all of that. It's really good. Okay, moving forward. The Crown, season 4. My wife and I are watching this, and we're only watching like 1 episode a night, except for last night we watched 2. So we've only finished 4 of the 10 episodes. Season 1 and season 2 to me were incredible. Season 1 especially. Holy crap. A lot happened in season 1. Season 3 was boring. I almost quit watching it because season 3 was so boring. But it was setting you up. It was giving you context for who these people are and sort of the challenges that were going to come up. And they're coming up now in season 4. We're introduced to Princess Diana as a young woman. They're addressing the fact that she was bulimic. I didn't know she was bulimic. My wife knew about it. She was like, oh, I hear they're going to talk about that. And I was like, what? She knew about it. She pays attention to the royals and all of their goings-ons, and she even asked me questions. Didn't so-and-so married to Fergie? And I'm like, I don't know who these people are. I really didn't pay attention to it. It's a great show, though. And season 4 is compelling, because not just because of Princess Diana and the horrible crap that she went through with her piece of crap husband, or the fact that he was put in such a horrible predicament where he was in love with somebody else and couldn't marry the one he wanted to love. And it's all because of what happened in the past dictated what they're having to deal with now. Everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. I can't even say that enough. Everything happens for a reason. That's whether you're watching a show or it's real life. Everything happens for a reason. Now, one of the main reasons I was looking forward to this season was because of Gillian Anderson. She was on The X-Files. I'm a big Gillian Anderson fan. I thought she was super hot back in the day. She's still super hot. She's on that show. You know the one. I forget the name of it, where she's like a sex counselor. And anyway, I've talked about it on the show. I'll think of what it is. You can Google it. She's playing Margaret Thatcher. And I tell you what, with the wig and the makeup and the way she's done her mannerisms, she's a shoe-in as Margaret Thatcher. For whatever unbelievability the rest of the show has for the way their characters look or how off they look from the real people, she nailed it. She is Margaret Thatcher on this show. And man, it's off to the races. I'm already 4 episodes in. They're already talking about the Falkland Islands, her son going missing and her finding him. There was an interesting... Episode 4 was interesting because there was a conversation between the queen and her husband of who's your favorite child, because Margaret Thatcher just says sort of bluntly to the queen that her son's missing. And she goes, he's my favorite. I have twins and he's my favorite. And the queen goes, what do you like? It threw her for a loop. She's like, what do you mean your favorite? And so she's talking to her husband about it. And she goes, she just matter of factly just told me that her son was her favorite of the two. And he goes, well, yeah, that makes sense. And she's like, what are you talking about? She's like, and he goes, everybody's got a favorite. And she's like, no, they don't. And he was like, yeah, they do. And she's like, you have a favorite? He goes, absolutely. And he just bluntly says, Anne. I mean, he had 3 sons and a daughter, and Anne was his favorite. He just says, hey, Anne was my favorite. And he goes, you got a favorite too? And she goes, I do not. He goes, of course you do. And she's like, who? He goes, oh, you don't know who your favorite is. And like, he thinks it's like a game now. And he's like, all right. Well, have fun with that. And she goes, you're just going to leave me with that? He goes, yeah. So think of this now. Think of the fact that the Queen of England is now sitting here wrestling with the fact that she's got 4 kids and her husband knows for certain in his, because he knows her better than anybody. He spends more time with her than anybody. And he's like, yeah, you have a favorite. Of course you do. And she has to go down this interview process, hanging out with her kids. And in their own special way, you've seen how her being the queen has sort of ruined their lives in a way that's made them almost intolerable to be around. And she sort of learns as this goes on that any interaction she has with them sort of screws up their life from being normal and for them even having a shot at any kind of normalcy. And, you know, it's one of those things where it was an interesting I don't see, that's it. That's the thing though. I don't know if this was a real conversation or if this is something they wrote into it, because this is about real people and they're making a show, but they have to base it on something. So you're thinking these have to come from books, from people who worked in the castle or, you know, in Buckingham Palace or something like that. Or it's come from books from someone in the family who's talked about it. Somewhere along the way, they've gotten this information, but this is kind of a private conversation that she's had with her husband. And it's interesting how they showed it and how they came around to it. And I don't know. It's just one of the interesting parts of this season. And because we watched it last night, it was interesting to me. Here you are, the Queen of England, and you're asked, which kid is your favorite? You're like, what? She does have a favorite though. You'll find out. Just watch. So yeah, The Crown, season 4. Good show. Whatever they're spending on that show, it's worth every penny. They're doing a great job, just killing it. I don't know how they got permission to do it. I don't know if these buildings are actually the actual buildings that they say they are in the show. I don't know if someone from the royal family is giving them a thumbs up saying, oh, yeah, we'll do this. Or if they have to approve. I don't know. I wish it was like a behind the scenes of this so you could know some of this stuff. And they'll probably do that once it's all over, but I'm real curious. So anyway, I'm going to pivot just a second and tell you about my new obsession. Thanks to my buddy Greg Steele, I am now obsessed with Animal Crossing on on a Netflix Switch. Not Netflix, Nintendo Switch. I have gone down the rabbit hole. I bought a Nintendo Switch. I bought the game Animal Crossing, and I've been playing a lot. And Greg helped me. He visited my island and he gave me a bunch of supplies and he kind of told me how to do things. And he's there to ask questions too. And it's fun. It's relaxing. I've played a lot. I've actually got into this thing called the stalk market, because everything's got puns about what the things are. So you, there's a point where every Sunday this person comes around and you can buy turnips from them at a random price. Just every island has them at different prices. You could have a, so I'm imagining that you talk to people within a group and you say, hey, who's got a good price on turnips? And you find someone who's got a cheap price and you go to their island and you buy just a bunch of turnips. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Every day randomly, you have a shop where these little raccoons work, Timmy and Tommy, and they twice a day, once in the morning and once afternoon, they give you a random price for what turnips are selling for today. And it's on the stalk market. Okay. Now, the stalk market is a big deal because that's a way you can make some money really fast. They don't actually use money. They use these things called bells. Bells is their currency. So I'll give you an example. Okay. I bought turnips on my island at 90 bells per turnip. And I bought a bunch of them. I bought as many as I could buy with the money I had at the time. Spent all my bills. I had these turnips and I was like, okay, what do I do with these things? And I basically put them in my house and just sat them aside and in this little make-believe house thing on the game. And so I did some research and I talked to my buddy Greg and he was like, all right, during the week, you're going to get random prices and you can sell them and you can make a bunch of money. I've made a bunch of money doing this. I actually downloaded an app on my phone. It's called ACNH Exchange. And it looks like a little leaf. I registered and people put on there what their price is going for when it's really high. So I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I opened the app and I looked at it and someone's Timmy and Tommy raccoon was buying turnips that day on the turnip market for 598 bells per turnip. So that's a huge increase. That's more than six times what I paid for it. So I got into contact with the person on the phone. There was a list. We had to wait until our turn. They give us a code. We can visit their island. I go over to Tommy and Timmy and I sell bells and I make bell money. It was cool. It's the first time I'd done it. I know it's total dorkdom and I enjoyed the crap out of it. I don't know why. It made me so happy. I was able to come home to my little island and fix up the place and pay off a thing on a house expansion that I'd done. And I was like, oh, this is so fun. And my wife's over there looking at me like, you good? I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. I'm having fun. So I know it's not real. I know I got on here two or three podcasts ago and I poo-pooed on the idea of fantasy land and, you know, you can't accomplish the things that you want to in real life. So people go down the dark rabbit hole of doing things on video games and saying, I can't be awesome, but I can kick butt in this one thing. And I know, I get all of that. I'm just telling you, I had a good time. So I'm going to try not to let it be an obsession like some people have. I'm not going to call out any names. He knows who I'm talking about. He's listening right now. Hi, Greg. But it's fun. I'm having a fun time playing with it. And the cool thing is I wanted to do it because I was playing a bunch of games on my phone and it's really hard to see my phone because it's so tiny. And the games on the phone are, let's face it, if you're out and about, it's going to eat up a lot of data. You got to pay for more data. I want to get out of that. I also want to get out of me burning up my battery playing games on my phone. So anyway, thank you to Greg for getting me stuck on that. And also, curse you. It's sort of a double-edged sword there of compliment and anguish. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you to everybody who's been tuning into the podcast and for all the well wishes and all of that stuff. I have been watching daily podcasts, or not podcasts, but YouTube stuff from the Tim Tracker. Him and his wife have been going to Universal and to the campgrounds there to look at decorations and to Disney. And they're kind of showing you updates as they come. And they put out a video about every day. And they've become like part of our family now. We watch them on a regular basis. Same thing with Dad, R. Peak on YouTube. He's putting out content all the time. maybe little things, maybe him getting an old boat, maybe him welding on something, maybe him tuning up a banjo or fixing up a banjo or whatever. It's just fun entertainment. So, yeah, that's it. I hope to do more of these as we get into a rhythm, especially now that I can kind of see. I don't know if you've watched the YouTube part of this, but I've had my eye open for the majority of it. This LED light, I got a ring light above me that's kind of bright, so it's a little hard, but I'm doing it. And if you can look at my eye right now, my right eye is, the pupil is huge. But anyway, it's getting better. It's all a process. So thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Please, if you haven't, please do so. It does help the podcast and it does help me grow. So y'all take care. And whatever you're watching, reach out to me. Let me know. I'll check it out. Okay. That's it for now. And as I always end this, cue the cow.